This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Five Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Five Star Zone. I'm Rico Beard. Hail Shelton III from the Big Ten Network. Kind enough to join us again. These guys that break down the stats all the time. Harold, we've come to the end. We've come to the end of a season. Didn't see this happening so quickly, but for some, it can't get over fast enough. And for others, the intrigue is still there. Only one team is guaranteed a spot in the Big Ten Championship game right now. We kind of feel like it's going to be Ohio State as the other team, but only Oregon clinched it a couple weeks ago. Ohio State handled business against Indiana. They beat Michigan. They're in. I guess Indiana's waiting for Ohio State to slip up. But before we break down the games, in the event that, let's say, Michigan pulls off the upset and Indiana and Penn State both finish with one loss, who gets to go?
So in that case, it would be Penn State. Because head-to-head doesn't matter. You have to go to, like, common opponents, and then that would be the same. Then you have to go to the next one, which is how you did, you know, going down the standings to try to find a tiebreaker. Since they both lost to Ohio State, that wouldn't work. So then it would go down to who had the toughest conference strength of schedule, and Penn State would just narrowly edge Indiana on that.
Okay, see, and this is why we bring them on, folks, because that right there, I was like, what, it's going to flip a coin? So let's get into the upcoming games. We got a couple games on Friday. Minnesota taking on Wisconsin, and you got Nebraska taking on Iowa. Some old Big Ten West rivalries, Black Friday. Well, let's start with Minnesota and Wisconsin. What should we be looking for in that game?
Yeah, I feel like whichever quarterback plays better usually wins that game. I think with Minnesota, they've done a really good job all year of not turning the ball over. And whenever they have, they've lost. And so they had two against Penn State, and that was the biggest issue. They were minus two in turnover margin. You know, it looked like they were going to have a chance to go ahead and win that game. They fumble in the fourth quarter and, you know, with a chance to take the lead. They never get it back. And so, you know, the biggest thing for them is taking care of the ball. I think Max Brosman's done a really good job of, you know, getting acclimated. It took him a little while, you know, coming from New Hampshire, but he seems to have figured it out. These last six games, he's been very efficient. Only one pick in that stretch. And meanwhile, you got Wisconsin. Braden Locke's throwing one every week. Like, he's the Aiden Childs of the West for the most part. So, you know, the fact that he's got 10 picks and only 9 starts means that he's going to most likely give the ball away. And you just kind of wonder, like, what are they playing for? Like, I know they're still trying to be bowl eligible, but they're 5-6. They've lost 4 in a row. They just gave up 44 to Nebraska. Like, can the rivalry game kind of get them back going? Can the, you know, the chance of making a bowl game for the 23rd straight year, can that be the thing, like the carrot that gets them going? Because, you know, to go from 5-2 to 5-6 with the disarray that they have, you know, it's been surprising. So they got one more chance to try to make a bowl.
Let's go Nebraska and Iowa. This is the game I always remember for Black Friday for a while now. You got Nebraska. You got Iowa who, you know, I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. Have they settled on the quarterback yet?
So I know they've just had a bunch of injuries. So I know like Cade McNamara still been out with a concussion. Did Brendan Sullivan got hurt in that UCLA game? He's out for the season. So they had to go with Jackson Stratton, who made his first start last week against Maryland. They didn't really need him because they ran for close to 300 yards. I don't know if they'll be able to do that against Nebraska. We know that front is really good. You know, we saw them kind of control the Ohio State game. They shut down the Wisconsin run game. So I could see that being a close, low-scoring game. And, you know, usually when these teams play, the last six matchups have been decided by 7 points or fewer. So I wouldn't be surprised if we had another similar fourth quarter kind of game, high teens, low 20s kind of game.
Right, and then you got Nebraska coming off the beatdown where it seems like they put it all together last week and it kind of keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, see, I wonder, you had so much pressure on you. You know, you had gone 8 years without making a bowl, and it's all you heard about. And it's, oh, you know, we're 5-1. We got a chance to make a bowl. And then you lose four straight, and it's, oh, here we go again. Now that they finally got over that hump, can they play loose? Can they play free? That they don't have the weight of the world on their shoulders of, oh, man, what are people going to say if we don't win this game? Or, you know, are we going to miss out on the bowl again? They got all of that done, which is why you saw that big reaction that they had at the end of the game and fans storming the field and players getting emotional. All of that's done now. Like, they know they're playing in the postseason. So I wouldn't be surprised if they play loose and play free in this game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so now the Big Ten did not get what it wanted, I guess, at the end of the year, that, you know, that big game. The Michigan-Ohio State game, I mean, man, when you see a 3-touchdown favorite for one team, not exactly what you wanted. I mean, looking at this, some of the games that's coming up, I mean, USC, Notre Dame, I thought was going to be like, at the beginning of the year, I'm like, okay, that may be a good game. Really don't think so. Now, Penn State, Indiana, even though, you know, normally both teams are bad, but it's going to be competitive. I don't think this is going to even be competitive in this game, man. What's going to be the best game on Saturday?
Yeah, it's weird. I was kind of looking around thinking that too. Like, this weekend doesn't have the usual juice that it would normally have. You know, we've had the Penn States, Michigan States where that's meant something, or we've had Michigan, Ohio State. Obviously, that's been a top 10 matchup each of the last 3 years. Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think you're just kind of watching individual teams. I think the best games are actually on Friday. I think both Black Friday games will be really good and both be really close. Outside of that, I mean, I think USC Notre Dame could be interesting. You know, I think it was a similar thing with Nebraska with USC, where it was, you know, we keep getting close, but we keep blowing these leads. And now, you know, they made the quarterback change. They've won two in a row. You know, both close games, figured out a way to win them. Now you can play spoiler. Now you got a chance to knock out your hated rival, maybe get them out of the playoff. You already got a bowl. Maybe Lincoln Riley just lets it all go. And, you know, we see all kind of trick plays, and this could be an audition for that quarterback for next year. They're like, hey, you don't need to go out and get another guy. Like, I'm your guy. And so I wouldn't be shocked to see the USC play well in that game, especially back home. They play much better than they have on the road. And, you know, Notre Dame hadn't really been tested in a while. Like, I know Army was ranked, but that was no contest. You know, outside of the A&M game early in the year, you know, they played Louisville, and now they got four losses. You know, we've seen Notre Dame, you know, they can run the ball really well. And USC struggled to stop the run, so I think that's probably the key matchup there. But of the games you mentioned, that's probably the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, I mean, geez, what happened to Miller Moss? Because he came in, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten. And is he done, or is he just done at USC? It's like is he going to be one of the more coveted people in the transfer portal?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he went to the portal. I wonder if Lincoln Riley just wanted to go in a different direction and just kind of see, all right, we had this dude transferring from UNLV. Let's see what we got. And, you know, if he plays well, then we know we have a quarterback for 2025. And if he doesn't, then, you know, we might have to open this thing up between Moss and Jaden and then figure it out from there and maybe add a guy. But now it seems like they have their guy. And, you know I criticized the move early once it happened, but it seemed like it's worked out for them so far, going 2-0 with two big wins. And, you know, if they get a third one here, then I think there's no question that you know who your guy is for 2025.
All right, and now we got Michigan taking on Ohio State. And the funny thing is, as I said, that last week, right after we finished our pod, Michigan lands and flips Bryce Underwood, number one recruit, number one quarterback from LSU. He now goes to Michigan. The funny thing is, I think it takes the pressure off Sherrone Moore, because Harold, no matter what happens in this game, let's just say Michigan loses the game, they go 6-6. This will be the year that Sherrone Moore got Bryce Underwood. It won't be the year that Sherrone Moore took Michigan to 6-6 from winning a national title. I mean, am I wrong in thinking that? Because I got to think that fans really don't care about this season anymore. They don't remember any of the losses. And honestly, I don't really think that they care about this Ohio State. I mean, they want to beat the Buckeyes, but I think they're kind of ready to flush this season.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree on that. And, you know, if they didn't have the national title before, if they didn't have the three-game win streak against Ohio State, I think all of this would matter much more. But, you know, since they've kind of had their way and flipped the rivalry on its head, you know, if they happen to lose this one, it's like, oh, well, you got us for the first time in 5 years. This was our down year coming off a national title. But you see, we're reloading. We'll be back. We'll get you at home next year. Yeah, so I totally agree that this also buys Sherrone more time. He can see that, you know, both the donors and everybody can see, like, he's recruiting well. If you give me the resources, I can go out and get guys. You know, this is my first time kind of going through everything, learning everything on the job. But year two, I'll be ready to roll. And, you know, I'll be curious just to see if Michigan keeps this close for a while. If it's similar to the Indiana game, does Ohio State get tight? Because we've seen in some of these big games where Ohio State has gotten a little tight when the pressure's on them, they're expected to win. If Michigan makes them uncomfortable, if Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant are stopping the run and Will Howard, you know, is being flushed out of the pocket, missing some throws, that crowd starts to get a little quiet, a little antsy. I'm just curious to see what would happen in that situation, because, you know, Michigan's going to play with nothing to lose.
Yeah, but I got to think Ohio State has just hate, and Ryan Day knows he can't afford to lose this game. If he loses this game, I think the edict will be either you win the national title or don't come back to Columbus, because you can't just keep losing to Michigan, especially this bad Michigan team. I actually look at it the other way, where I think Ohio State will have a chance to be classy and say, nah, to hell with that. We will not be classy. We will not take knees. We will be running trick plays, and they will try to exercise all the demons of the last couple of years and just try to run up the score on Michigan. But that's why I said I don't think Michigan fans at this point even care, because you're looking to the future. Now, let's just say he comes. Is that saying that, you know, it's the end of all the quarterbacks that Michigan has? Because if you're paying this kid reportedly up to $12 million, you got a plan from day one, right?
See, and I'm curious about that, because I feel like that's a no-win situation for him in terms of on the field. Obviously, you got paid, and, you know, congrats to you for that. But if you're going out there and you still don't have receivers to throw to, you don't have that same O-line that J.J. McCarthy had, you don't have the same running game that Michigan's had the last 4 years, like, you're kind of setting him up for failure. And I don't know if that's necessarily the way to go. If they can find a stopgap that at least pushes him or he can learn from, then I think that certainly helps him. If you're just throwing him straight into the fire, I think that could be a huge mistake for them. I think he can be really good in time, but I think trying to do that to start out, I mean, when's the last true freshman to really hit the ground running like that? You're talking about with Trevor Lawrence.
Lived up to that billing.
Like,
now, this is where I become you. I did the research, and it's just Trevor Lawrence. He's a one of one. That's it. Everybody else, first year, crash and burn, very subpar. Now, some got better. You look at the Dillon Gabriels of the world, but that first year, now people forget bench. I mean, Spencer Rattler came in heralded at Oklahoma.
Yep.
Didn't work out that way. And they ran him out of town. He ended up finishing in South Carolina. So, all right, let's actually get into the Michigan-Ohio State game. What should we be looking for in this game?
It's a line of scrimmage, as it usually is. You know, Michigan has dominated the line of scrimmage in this game during this three-game win streak. And we'll see if they can do it again. No, I actually thought Ohio State struggled to run the ball last week against Indiana. I know Trevion Henderson had that big run at the end that kind of inflated the stats. But before that, before those last 2 minutes, they only had 75 rushing yards. I mean, Ohio State got 14 points off the special teams and didn't really have to do anything else because their defense was so good. You know, they've been kind of touch and go when it comes to the run game. You know, they ran it well against Penn State, you know, which was like the first time in a while that they ran it well in a big game. But, you know, Nebraska held them in check. I thought Indiana held them in check on the ground. So I'll be curious to see if Michigan can keep them in check up front. On the other side, though, man, I'd be curious. I don't know how Michigan really moves the ball, especially if Ohio State's defense is playing the way it has. It seems like they've learned from their previous mistakes where they were pretty passive up front on defense. I think that 2022 season where Donovan Edwards had a bunch of big plays and then they gave up a bunch of big plays in the championship game, that kind of made them play more conservative on defense and just try to rely on talent, because Jim Knowles came from Oklahoma State. They're used to blitzing and sending dudes from everywhere because he had to. He didn't have those kind of players. He tried to bring that system to Ohio State, do the same thing, gave up a bunch of big plays. It was a bunch of busts. And then they said, no, we're not going to do that. We got the players here. You don't have to do all that stuff. But they weren't getting home before. And they tried it again against Indiana, and they weren't getting home before. So you say, you know what? I'm a blitz. I'm sending five. I'm sending six. I'm sending seven. And they couldn't block it. And, you know, it was similar to Penn State. They couldn't block it either. So I think they learned from the Michigan loss in 22, the Michigan loss in 23, the Oregon loss this year. They're no longer being passive on defense. They're taking the fight to other teams' offenses instead of just hoping that their five stars win. They're like, nope, we're sending safeties, we're sending linebackers. See if you can block
them. Help.
So they're going to do that. So I think they'll do that again. I'd be shocked if they didn't.
And I guess the game with the closest point spread in East Lansing at 3:30, Michigan State, Rutgers. MSU's actually favored in this game. Michigan State needs this game coming off of the night game against Purdue, where it's a tale of halves. The first half, 24-3. Looks like it's going to be a boat race. And before you know it, you got to make a big stop late in the game. Receiver drops the ball, which would have been a game tying touchdown. And they squeak out a victory over a 1-9 Purdue team. I guess, and then Rutgers, I don't know what was worse, because Rutgers, then, geez, Harold, you had the win, and then you call the timeout, and then you bring the blitz, and you let Luke Altmyer hit Pat Bryan, and you forget to tackle them. Like, he made one spin move. It wasn't like it was like this Heisman moment. And the next thing you know, they score, and it's like, what? If you're Rutgers, you're like, what just happened here? I thought we were celebrating. Instead, they took the L. Can they bounce back from that kind of devastating loss headed to East Lansing for a team that's desperate to try to go bowling? What's this game going to look like?
Yeah, I guess I was a little surprised that Michigan State was favored. You know, I just think with all the injuries and everything that I know they have more motivation to get to a bowl because Rutgers already has their sixth win and they should already be in. But, you know, they're trying to, you know, win their most conference games, in a decade in a season. So maybe that's something that Shiano gets them fired up for. But I was really, really surprised. I was all over that Illinois Rutgers game. And when they called the timeout with a 58-yard field goal with 35-mile-an-hour gusts of wind, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, right. There's no need to call the timeout. And then to Brett Bielema's credit, he said, you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to go for it. We're going to get our best player the ball. And it wound up working out for him. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see if Rutgers can get off the mat from that. They're usually mentally tough, so I wouldn't be shocked if they did. But I think in this game, as you saw with Hudson Carr throwing against the Michigan State beat-up secondary, it was dudes wide open all over the place. And quietly in these last three or four games, Ethan Calais-McManus has been pretty good. And he's developed quite a rapport with Ian Strong, Demir Miller, KJ Duff. They got three really tall receivers. And they actually take shots downfield, which is pretty rare for Rutgers. But they like to stretch the field. And so I think that matchup in the secondary between Rutgers receivers and Michigan State's corners probably decide this game. And
they're not going to be leaning on Manung guy, just handing him the ball and feeding him?
Oh, they will. They certainly will. But I think Michigan State can do enough up front to control that. But then when you get into third and five, third and six, Calais-McManus, is he just going to take some shots downfield? Is he going to be able to take off with some scrambles, which he did last week? He scored a couple times on the ground. It was a 4th and 10. He was able to pick it up with his feet. So he's not the same guy as he was at Minnesota. He's actually gotten a lot better, even if his stats don't necessarily jump out at you. He's been much better this season. I think the Michigan State run defense and the Rutgers run game can be enough of a draw or a stalemate that it would, the outcome will rely on other places.
I was about to say, if you're Michigan State, how do you win this game and become bowl eligible in Jonathan Smith's first year?
You got to see if you could get Childs on the move. I think if you just keep him back there, he's a sitting duck, and that's just not going to work against an aggressive Rutgers defense. If you can get to the 30s, I think that would be great. Now, obviously, we're talking about a Michigan State team that's struggled to score, but we've seen Rutgers, in four of their losses, they've given up 35-plus. So you can score on them. We saw Illinois do it. We saw them hit a bunch of big plays. We know Nick Marsh and Montori Foster are capable of that. Even Isaiah Johnson's capable of that. But it's about keeping him clean. And you just kind of don't know what you're going to get from Childs. He's been better. He hasn't turned the ball over the last two games. But that performance against Purdue, he was under 50%. And there was a lot of throws that he missed. And, Nick Marsh dropped a couple. We don't know what Jack Belling's status is. So you just kind of wonder how many targets he has available to him. But I think he's going to have to win the game because I don't know if they'll be able to run it well enough.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting in East Lansing to see if they can get to that sixth win. I just don't know what happens at halftime. Harold, I've never seen a team who just can't score. I think two games this year, they've outscored their opponent in the second half. One was Prairie View, the other was Maryland, and that's it.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been really bad, especially that third quarter. I think it's 80-23. They've been outscored in the third quarter this season. And then in the last three games, they've been outscored 57-7 in the second half. Not a recipe to win games. You were able to get away with it against Purdue, who's 1-10. But when you're playing teams like Illinois and Rutgers, like, that's not going to work. And so they're going to have to figure something out there. Because it seems like when they usually start games pretty well, those first 15, 20 plays that are scripted seem to work fine. And then after that, for whatever reason, they just can't seem to get it going. And I don't know if that's because of the lack of depth that they have on both sides of the ball. Is that injuries piling up? I'm not really sure, but it's certainly been a problem.
All right, Held, I appreciate it, my man. You got any stats for us before we sign off for the Thanksgiving Day holiday?
So for Michigan, Ohio State, the fact that they've won three in a row, we've seen Michigan play in a bunch of top 10 games, but we haven't really seen them win a game like this when they're ranked, where they're unranked, basically. When they're a 7-6 win team, the last time they went on the road and beat a ranked team, you got to go back to 2005 when they won at Michigan State in overtime when Michigan State was ranked 11th. So you're talking nearly 20 years from Michigan going on the road, just beating a ranked team, not a top five team, not a top 10 team, just going on the road and beating a ranked team is something that they haven't done in 20 years while they've been unranked. So we'll see if they can snap that streak. But I fully agree with you where if Ohio State gets a chance to run it up, they absolutely will, because they did it last week to Indiana when they certainly didn't have to. So if they got a chance to do it against Michigan, they'll certainly take that chance.
Gotcha. Hey, Harold, what's your go-to, man, for Thanksgiving? What's that one thing you got to have?
So my wife throws down on Thanksgiving. So I've had a coffee rub roast. We don't really do turkey in this house. So we do coffee rub roast, mac and cheese. We've had duck in the past. But as long as I got my roast and my mac, I'm good. What about you?
A coffee rub roast.
Yeah,
I'm heading over to the Sheldons.
Come on, we got room.
You know what? For me, I am a simple person, but I'm like you. Like, I don't always want to do turkey. I do want to, like, if I do, I'd rather like have a deep fried one. But I'm a simple person. I'm a mashed potatoes guy, man. I gotta have that. It can make any other thing on the menu taste better. Mac and cheese, I like, but as you know, not everybody can make good mac and cheese. Yeah. Some people just make macaroni and cheese. There's a big difference than mac and cheese. Facts. So, but no, that's for me, man. I love mashed potatoes, dog. And so ham, mashed potatoes, I can call it a night. You leave me alone. Watch the games, and I'm good to go. So, all right, brother. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, and everybody out there watching, enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll break down, I guess, Big Ten championship game next week. We'll know who it is. I kind of got a feeling it's going to be Ohio State, Oregon for the rematch. But we'll see what happens officially when Harold and I are back next week. But for now, enjoy your holiday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thanks for watching the 5-Star Zone.